Raffles by E.W. Hornung. A series of short stories dramatized for radio by David Buck. With Jeremy Clyde as Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. A Trap to Catch a Cracksman.
When a fellow's not engaged in his employment, or something, little plans, his capacity for innocent enjoyment. I am an old silly thing. Is just as great as any honest man's honest man.
Bath, and bed. Hey, that's the order of the day, or rather, order of the night. Damn the thing. Always rings when you're running a bath, I find. It's a damn nuisance. Hello? Manders here. Who's that? Oh, yeah, is this some kind of joke? Do you know what time it is? It's... Good heavens, it's 2:30 in the morning. There's no time to be...
Bunny.
What? Oh, yeah. Who is this?
Bunny.
Raffles? It is Raffles, isn't it?
What's left of me? Bunny, I'm in trouble.
Speak up, I can't hear you.
I need you here, quick.
Well, what on earth happened?
I can't tell you. I never know who may be.
Raffles? Raffles, are you still there?
No, still.
Yeah,
still
well, I come at once. Where are you? At the Albany?
No, Maguire.
Maguire?
You know, American prize fighter. Can't have forgotten we were met him at the Imperial Boxing Club. He took us home.
Yeah, you're at Maguire's house now, in Half Moon Street.
Yes.
What are you doing there, for heaven's sake?
What do you think?
Oh, Raffles, you promised.
I couldn't resist it.
But he's not there, is he?
No, he's not coming yet, but he's caught me.
Caught you?
In the trap, he bragged about it. Serves me right. I didn't believe it, but I'm caught at last. Caught at last.
Well, when he told us, he said it every night. Oh, Raffles. Well, what sort of trap is it? What shall I do? Or what can I bring?
Well, just come. Just come.
Raffles? Oh, must get to him in time.
I snatched up my coat and hat and dashed down into the street. I'd always known our run of luck was bound to exhaust itself one day, and had often wondered how the end would come. But that it should come through such foolishness, and foolishness on Raffles' part, was a cruelly unexpected blow. For he was right. We had been warned. Maguire himself had warned us.
Dropped out of his glove.
I'll go a dozen rounds with you any day, Mr. Raffles, sir. You have only to say to Void.
Oh, what word is that, Maguire? I must remember not to utter it unthinkingly.
There's many has said it and lived to regret it. Ain't that so, Cruncher?
Indubitably.
Larson, that great lump of a Swede, said it, and he's still in hospital. Any Hambone?
Still in hospital, boss.
The guy who called himself heavyweight champion of all the Americas said it, and where is he now? Back on Skid Row where he came from. Ain't that correct?
Indubitably. Back on Skid Row, boss.
Look at these fists of mine, Mr. Raffles. Like sled hammers they are.
Sled hammers. Indubitably.
Well, you said it, Maguire, not I. I wouldn't say anything to contradict you, I promise.
You're a prudent gentleman and no mistake, Mr. Raffles. Why, you're more some sort of artist than any sportsman I ever met.
There's no better cricketer in England, Maguire.
Why, don't you think I know that, Mr. What's-your-name? I don't invite just anyone to pay me a visit here, you know. No, sir. Only the best is good enough for Barney Maguire. Ain't that so, Hambone?
Only the best, boss, indubitably.
I'm not offended, Maguire. I suppose I am a bit of an artist in my way.
Is that so? Then I'm sure you'll appreciate some of the stuff I've got here.
I could see that Raffles was appreciating some of the stuff already. Our genial host's diamond studs, for example, his jewelled watch chain and his 18-carat bangle, which, if a trifle ornate for fastidious tastes, were certainly impressive in terms of common expenditure. I could see that Raffles was already considering how best they could be fenced. My own appraisal took more account of Maguire's 6-inch lower jaw and the massive shoulders of his henchmen.
Do you aim to stay in London long, Maguire?
Long enough to collect all the fancy prizes you Britishers have to offer. Then I'll go to Europe and do the same.
I wish you the best of fortune.
Look here, I like you, Mr. Raffles. And it's obvious you have a taste for good things like me. We've a lot in common, I believe, and I hope you'll come here often. Whenever you feel like it, we'll have a glass together. Oh,
thank you so much.
You too, what's your name?
I'm most kind.
You know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll show you something here that very few folk have seen or ever shall.
What's that, Maguire?
That room there. There's only one way in through that door. The windows are all blocked in. Ain't that so, Cruncher?
Indubitably. All blocked in, boss.
How fascinating. I wonder what's in there, don't you, Bunny?
Indubitably. Absolutely.
It's in the nature of being my trophy room.
Oh, your trophy room.
Mm-hmm. And I keep it secure as the Bank of Old England. Yes, sirree. That door there's lined with steel.
Yes, and I see it's mounted with the very latest lock. A Rasmussen patent double-action deadlock, if I'm not mistaken.
You keep your eyes open, Mr. Raffles. I like that in a man, don't I, Cruncher?
Indubitably. He sets great store by that, the boss.
There's only one key, and I keep it here in my vest pocket, see? Many's the villain who'd like to get a hold of this key, Mr. Raffles.
I dare say.
There. How's this for an Aladdin's cave, huh? Fair takes your breath away, don't it?
I've never seen anything like it, Maguire.
No one ever has.
It's amazing.
Ain't it, though? This here belt with the jewels was presented to me by the state of Nevada on account of a couple of successful fights I had there. This here gold brick came as a tribute from the citizens of Sacramento, like it says in the inscription. And this here is a model of my own self, done in solid silver, from the Fisticuff Club in New York City.
Doesn't do you justice, Maguire.
I was scrawnier in them days.
Indubitably.
And this here is a cup made out of every precious metal known to man, inscribed to the heavyweight of heavyweights and champion of champions. That's from Chicago. Those are rubies round the brim.
Very tasteful. Don't you think so, Bunny?
Miss Saggy.
Yep.
So it is, indubitably.
This must be worth a king's ransom, Maguire. You sure it's well enough protected? I mean, I know the Rasmussen's a good, solid lock, as none better. But it's in the nature of the cracksman to keep one step ahead of the opposition, so to speak. I'm sure that someone somewhere's got the measure of the Rasmussen by now.
Why, bless you, Mr. Raffles. You don't suppose I trust entirely to lock and key, do you?
No?
No. I tell you, I won all this by cunning as much as brute force. And cunning's how I aim to hang on to it. Yes, sir.
Indeed.
There's a trap set here, just waiting for someone to fall into it.
What sort of trap?
That'd be telling. Not even Cruncher here nor Hambo knows what it is. But it's a trap to catch the cleverest cracksman alive, it is. Yes, sirree.
You invent it yourself?
I did, sir. And my only sorrow is that no one has fell into it yet to prove what I say.
Well, it's a fascinating subject, Maguire. And I don't blame you at all for keeping it a secret. Though there's money to be made for such an invention.
Look around you, Mr. Raffles, sir. What would I need with money?
Looking about me, I saw that there was much truth in the great pugilist's boast. And I sensed that Raffles was much impressed by what he had seen. As we left Half Moon Street, I could see that part of his mind still dwelt in that fabulous cave of rubies and sapphires, diamonds and emeralds, not to speak of every precious metal known to man.
Do you think he's bluffing, Bunny?
Well, it's possible, but I don't think so.
I'm not sure. Reads like a bluff to me. I've a good mind to call it.
Oh, I beg you, Raffles, don't. Think of the rewards, Bunny.
Why, cracking that hoard would set us up for a lifetime, a dozen lifetimes. We could retire on it, Bunny.
It was the first time that I had heard Raffles mention the possibility of retiring. It was evident that he was taking the whole thing with a deadly seriousness. For myself, I can imagine no worse a trap than Maguire, with his great slabs of fists, waiting behind a curtain. I said as much to Raffles.
He's out on the town most evenings, Bunny. Everyone knows that. He seldom returns till the early hours, and then, like as not, he's quite incapable and has to be put to bed by Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Besides, that Rasmussen lock is an overrated piece of ironmongery. It's not worth much more than an hour of any decent cracksman's time. No, it'd be manna from heaven if it weren't for the threat of that accursed trap.
Raffles, please promise me not to do anything foolish.
Now, as I set off for Half Moon Street, the full horror of what had happened began slowly to sink into my befuddled senses. Raffles had braved the trap, and the trap had closed upon him. My lurid imagination, hardly improved by an evening of heavy drinking with my friend Swigger Morrison, framed the most appalling visions. I saw Raffles caught in the deadly jaws of some great gin with sharp teeth like a shark's, which was even now squeezing the life out of him. I hailed a hansom and implored the cabby to drive like the devil. I had no plan nor sought for one. I was gripped only by a single thought, to be close to my friend in his hour of peril.
Here we are. Half Moon Street, Governor.
Thank you. Yeah. Go away.
Why, thank you, Governor.
My plans, as I have said, were unformed and went no further than a determination to knock at the door of Maguire's house and gain admittance.
Come on, come on.
It was evident that the prizefighter and his colleagues were still out on the town. The windows of the house were closely shuttered and the door made of the most unyielding oak. I stooped to peer through the letterbox, but all was darkness within. Whatever help I could be to Raffles, it was plain that I could not accomplish anything alone. For a moment, I even considered going to the police. After all, I reasoned with myself, a Raffles disgraced and imprisoned was yet to be preferred to a Raffles stone dead. I was still toying with this heretical thought as I turned from the door and ascended the steps of the Half Moon Street pavement. In my preoccupation, I had failed to notice a brougham draw up and deposit three familiar figures in my tracks.
Well, damn me. Who have we here? I do believe it's that young friend of Mr. Raffles.
I do believe it too, boss.
Indubitably.
To what do we owe the pleasure of your company, young sir?
I can't got your tongue, eh?
Never mind. You're welcome all the same. Here's my hand on it.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, young man. Did I hurt you? Sometimes I just don't know my own strength. Ain't that right, Hambone?
Quite right, boss.
Indubitably.
Where's that woman got to? She's always trailing behind. Ruby.
Yeah.
I want you to meet a young friend of mine, Mr. What's-your-name. What's-your-name? Meet Ruby.
Oh, how do you do, Ruby?
Charmed, I'm sure.
Well, what are you doing here, What's-your-name?
I came to look for Raffles.
For Raffles?
Yes, Raffles.
Why in blazes do you think he'd be here?
Well, Sir Raffles.
Shut up.
You said we could drop round any time.
Did I say that?
Yeah, boss, you did.
Indubitably.
Well, if that's what I said, that's what I meant. Come in and welcome to you.
We don't stand on ceremony here. Liberty Hall, that's what it is.
So Mr. Raffles is coming here too, huh?
I thought he might be here already.
Well, he ain't. How could he be with no one to let him in? You're stupid, you are, Mr. What's-your-name?
Dead stupid.
Hands up for the boy.
Now sit down here, comfortable-like, and Crunchy will pour you a drink. No, wait, ladies first, huh? What do you want, Ruby?
I'll have a drink, dear.
Pour Ruby a tumbler of gin, Cruncher. And Mr. What's-your-name will have a... Gee-hossifat.
Bless you, boss.
Shut up, you damn fool. Do you see what I see?
Sheepers, boss. What's the matter, McGuire? Something wrong?
Something's wrong, all right. Something's very wrong.
Indubitably.
How come that door to the trophy room is open, huh?
I don't know, boss.
How come the light to be on in there?
Search me.
Well, Mr. What's-your-name, if you care for a little excitement, seems you've come at just the right time.
Really?
You remember I spoke of a trap? Well, someone's just fallen right into it, or my name's not Barney Maguire.
Oh, well, in there?
Correct, eh, Hambone?
Correct.
Indubitably.
Well, hadn't we better go and see?
Yeah, no need to hurry. Our man won't have gotten far. Finish your drink, Mr. What's-your-name?
A drink? Oh, yes.
Perhaps we ought to wait for Mr. Raffles.
Eh?
Didn't you say he was coming?
No, not exactly.
That's what he said, ain't it, Hambone?
That's what he said, boss.
Indubitably.
Let him speak for himself.
Shut up, you.
Yes, shut up.
Ow.
Well?
I said I thought I might find him here.
Here? Why?
Well, he was
fascinated by your talk of a trap, and well, we'd had a bet, you see.
Oh, a bet? Why didn't you say so? Wages, I understand. Well, let's go and inspect our catch, huh?
He staggered to his feet and made for the door of the trophy room. There he paused, gesturing us to stay where we were, while he entered softly, clamping his huge hands into fists as he went. Then we heard a loud bellow from within.
Walk up, ladies and gentlemen. Walk up and see a typical British cracksman laid as low as the carpet and nailed as tight.
We entered the room, the others enthusiastically, I with considerable apprehension.
There, real homegrown, low-down, unwashed Whitechapel. Reckon our powery boys are cock angels to scum like this.
On the floor beneath the dangling telephone lay the insensible form of one whom I knew to be Raffles, though truth to tell, his own mother would have found it hard to acknowledge the creature he had become.
I've a good mind to kick the villain's face in.
No, wait.
What's the matter? Why shouldn't I give him a dose of shoe leather, huh? Here, you don't know him, do you?
No, of course not. I just wanted to check that he was still alive.
He's alive, all right. More's the pity, hey, Hambone?
More's the pity, boss.
Indubitably.
What's happened to him?
That's what I want to know.
Shut up, you.
Oh.
Isn't it great, though? I've only to invent a trap to catch a crook and blamed if a crook doesn't walk right into it. Say, you, what's your name? It's a damn shame you Mr. Raffles ain't here. He'd have had a good laugh over this.
I think, though, that...
Yeah.
I think he'd have wanted to know how you did it.
Well, the secret's half out now. Guess there's no harm in you knowing. Let's all sit here at the table and have another drink.
I thought you'd never ask, dearie.
Shut up. And over our drink, I'll tell you what you want to know. There's some good whiskey in this cupboard.
In Jupiter's.
There's some good whiskey here on the table, too.
Don't do that, Ruby. Put it down.
Do as the boss says.
Ow!
Here, do the honors, Cruncher.
And zipper, boy.
I'll draw your attention to the decanter Cruncher is holding, folks. That label reading whiskey that hangs around its neck is solid gold. Ain't that so, Hambone?
Solid gold, boss.
Indisputably.
What?
Take a glass. What's the name?
Truth to tell, the last thing in the world I wanted at that moment was a further drink to befuddle my senses. I accepted a deep measure, nonetheless, though I thrust it immediately aside. Barney Maguire did not notice the gesture, for he was already into his stride.
The decanter, that's the secret. I figure there's no cracksman worth his salt who wouldn't want a slug of whiskey sometime while he's at his work. Whether before, during, or after, it makes no difference. If he takes a shot from that decanter there on the table, the one with the silver label around its neck, he won't be upright more than a minute after.
You mean it's drugged?
Didn't I say it was a simple trick? Nothing comes simpler than a bottle of Hoker's whiskey, but it still comes up with the loop.
Speaking
of which, let's see what this joker aimed to get away with. Jumping Juniper, will you look at this in his bag here? The belt, the statue, the gold brick, and the ruby cup. Why, you damn thieving devil!
Don't do that, Papa.
And why not, may I ask, young gentleman?
You'll kill him.
He's right, boy.
Indubitably.
Poor man. He looks in need of a good square meal.
He looks in need of a good square cell, by God. And that's where he's going. In my good time. Push over that whiskey, Hambo.
Look, he was trying to celebrate someone when he went down.
Huh? By thunder, you're right. His accomplice, I guess. Now leave that telephone alone, gal. They'll tell us at the Central Exchange what number he was calling, and we'll get the pair of them.
It doesn't have to be his accomplice he was telephoning, you know.
Oh, yeah? And who else do you think he'd be trying to call in the circumstances? His mother? His bookmaker?
Bookmaker, boss, I like that. Bookmaker, boss.
You see, I rather think he might have been trying to telephone... To telephone...
Spit it out. Who?
Me.
You?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know, but I did have an odd sort of call about an hour ago.
Was it cut off sudden?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was.
But you had some speech with a guy at the other end.
Yes.
And who did you reckon you were speaking to?
I couldn't be sure, but I thought it might be Raffles. We have this bet, you see. I thought he might be calling about that. You understand?
Yeah.
He was obsessed with the idea of your trap, you see, Mr. McGrath. We'd had quite a row about it, in fact. Raffles said he didn't think it was an ordinary man trap. I said it was, but of course he was right. It was something more subtle, but every bit as good. And the whole infernal boiling lot of you are caught in it. But me.
Why, George, bunny, I thought they'd never go under.
Raffles.
The same old sport. Oh, a little worse for wear. I dreamt someone was kicking me in the ribs. Woke to find it was true.
Were you awake all this time?
Not all, I think. About 5 minutes. Enough to be touched at the thought of you coming here to brave the lions and their death. God bless you for that, Bunny.
No. What have we here?
As I live and breathe, the seven sleepers, or a quorum at least. Good notion of mine, eh? Swapping the labels on the decanters. I realized what had happened just before I went under. The last thing I was able to do before attempting to telephone you, my dear fellow. Look at old Barney, sleeping like a child. I'm tempted, Bunny. Lord, oh, I'm tempted to knock some of that golden ivory down his throat.
Well, I shouldn't, Raffles. It might wake him up.
Yes, we don't want that to happen until I've made myself scarce with some of these oversized gewgaws of his.
You still don't intend to get through with this, Raffles?
Of course. I'm deuced if I've jumped all these fences simply to pull up in the final stretch.
But, A.J., it's not safe. The telephone call, they're bound to suspect us.
Yes, I heard you flanneling your way through an awkward moment or two apropos the call.
I had no choice. They were bound to check it out.
That is rather awkward, I admit. But I'm sure something will occur to me. As it is, old fella, I must ask you to do me just one more favor.
Well, anything, Raffles.
Join me in a toast. To the champion of champions.
Oh, very well. The champion of champions.
I borrowed the title from my snoozing friend there. I think it carries quite a ring, eh? Now, Bunny, you'll be feeling sleepy pretty directly, so I'd advise you to make yourself comfortable.
You sent me one of those whiskies.
Of course, my dear fellow. Well, how else do you think you were going to explain away the fact that you didn't call the police? But if you're first awake, of course, that is something you must do at once. Otherwise, just come round gently, agree with everything anyone says, slope off as quickly as you may, and go straight home. I'll join you there as soon as I've got rid of Whitechapel Wilf.
Whitechapel?
In what you see afore you, Gov.
Oh,
I'll hang him back in his wardrobe, stash his haul away, and meet you in your flat. Mm. I hope you've thought of a plan by then to get you off the telephonic hook, so to speak. Bunny? Bunny?
I opened my mouth to reply, but the words did not come. Raffles' face hovered above me, smiling. Then the vision blurred, and I was lost to the world. I woke to find the place in turmoil. Policemen were everywhere. Two of them were questioning Maguire and his cronies, while another looked after Ruby, who was having hysterics. I thought for some minutes that the part I had played in the events of the evening was to be overlooked. I even put my coat and hat on and assumed an impatient air as one who has better things to do. Perhaps they would simply let me go. Alas for my hopes. It appeared that nothing less than an inspector was required in my case, and at last the inspector arrived.
Good morning, Mr. Manders.
Mackenzie.
Dear me, sir. You do seem to make a habit of getting yourself into hot water. Now, what's all this about the villain telephoning your flat?
I don't know. It was only an idea.
We're checking it now. Either way, there'll be some questions to be asked. It's high time you and I had a little chat.
A little chat?
I reckon you need a little kindly advice about your choice of friends.
Eh?
Now you mark my words. It will land you in serious trouble one of these days. Well, there's no need for you to stay here now. I know where I can find you.
You mean I can go?
For the moment, sir. I'll catch up with you later, so to speak.
Something in Mackenzie's eyes filled me with apprehension. But I was grateful to leave Half Moon Street and the events of the night behind me for a spell. I walked home to clear my head. A grim-faced Raffles greeted me on my threshold.
Bunny, Before you go in, I must warn you. The police are here.
Already?
The fire brigade, too. They've had their pumping equipment here. You left your bath running, you know.
Oh, no.
What between the water and the burglars, your flat's in a terrible mess, I'm afraid.
Come in.
Burglars?
Yes. Someone's done the place over good and proper.
Mr. Manders, have you...
Mr. Manders is back, Constable, but don't start questioning him for a bit. There's a good fellow, and he's badly in need of a drink.
Very well, sir. We're busy in the bedroom for the moment, anyway. They forced the lock on the big wardrobe. Did you keep anything valuable in there, sir?
Yes, family silver.
Oh, I see. Come on in.
Yes, sir. Why did you tell him that, Raffles?
Well, it was family silver.
Yes, but it wasn't my family.
Here, drink this. It's quite all right, I promise. You know, I have a theory about this robbery.
I'd be glad to hear it, Raffles.
Well, I believe that some unscrupulous person heard you talking with Maguire at the Imperial Boxing Club, perhaps. Heard you speaking of your knick-knacks and resolved to burgle you on the same night. He telephones from Maguire's, then succumbs to the drug. By a fluke, he's able to escape and complete his work. I even believe I know this cracksman's name. It's,
Whitechapel Wilf. I thought it was you.
Not so loud, old boy. And don't worry, your stuff's quite safe. Now, if you'll take my advice... What are you doing, old fellow?
Making a list.
A list?
Of all the stuff I'm missing. A false one, of course. We must be ready for Mackenzie when he arrives, mustn't we?
Absolutely, old man. Or should I say...
Indubitably.
In A Trap to Catch a Cracksman by E.W. Hornung, dramatized for radio by David Buck, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles, and Michael Cochran, Bonnie Manders. Henry Stamper played Inspector Mackenzie, Alan Tilvan, Maguire, Peter Banks, Hambone, Michael Deacon, Cruncher, Francis Jeter, Ruby, and Alan Dudley, the cabbie and the police constable. The Raffles theme music was composed by Jim Parker. Technical presentation was by Keith Perrin, and the production was by Gordon Hartz.